Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name football, of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in my population. But it makes your race glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest stories. More so than any other. And our mountain west matters. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a thought, where Jeremy and he loves the masses and kisses in the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashton, they're calling out our names. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
We're here, a few minutes late. We made it. I made it. But this is Mountain West Connection. Check us out, MWCConnection.com. Jeremy Moss here. Check us out everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, all that. Same old Mountain West Connection. As mentioned last show, Chris Andres is going to be gone for a little while, going out of town. I'm not going to say where because he told me not to. So instead, we bring on capable replacements. And this week, we have somebody who's been patiently waiting for at least a good 8 minutes on the line. Hello, David. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Doing good. Sorry about that. We had a, let's just say, I want to punch Google Chrome in the face. Do you ever have that feeling? We're good. That voice, like I said, David Ferriker of San Diego Sports Domination. And if you know him on Facebook or Twitter and about 20 other things, am I right?
Yep.
Pretty much. You're busy. That's what we could say. You're busy doing a lot of things. But so I'm glad you could spend a couple minutes, well, probably half an hour with us talking San Diego State football. So, yeah, so we haven't talked in a while. Anything new we need to know about you or anything you want to promote or anything since you're – being kind to join us this evening?
Not really. I'm just hanging out. I'm going to Europe for 2 weeks in a week. I would have given the San Diego Flash soccer team a shout out, which I'm their new marketing director, but I'm not going to be here for their games because I'll be in Europe, so it's all good.
How does that work? You get the job and go out of town?
Yep, because I found some capable replacements from San Diego State that are going to go fill in and live tweet and get the job done while I'm away.
That's good. No, I'm just, you know, joking around. Hey, Europe's exciting. It'll be fun. So we're talking football tonight. Well, actually, before we talk about football, I know you've heard about the recent basketball news for San Diego State. Any update? I should have it in front of me, but with the show starting such a mess, isn't Broderick Jones is looking to get out of his national letter of intent? Is that correct? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, got it right. Any reason why? Is he playing time? He wants to come right away? Anything you've heard or you want to insinuate of why he wants to leave before stepping court?
Grades might be an issue.
Grades, you said?
Yep.
That's never good.
And then playing time also could be an issue. I read your article on that, which is really good. No, I really do think playing time is going to be a major, major issue for him because we were thinking a few of our guys were going to leave early last year, and they didn't. So we have Malik Pope, who's going to come back. So he will clog up a huge amount of playing time.
Okay. That makes sense. I've heard a few places, like UTEP might be a place, a few others, but that's curious. I'm just curious. A few other things. One of our guys wrote something about that, so I don't know if there's anything new. But let's get to football. That's what we're here talking
Hell
about.
Yeah.
Football. We are, what, 60-something days away. Also, announcement. I'm finally getting our top 50 countdown. I was the last person to get my list up and going. So that'll be coming this week. And not to give anything away, the top two spots are probably going to be Rashard Higgins or Donald Pumphrey, which makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to start with that. I'll start with the offense. Donald Pumphrey probably should have won Player of the Year last year. Him or Jay Ajayi, Garrett Grayson, good job on you, but it should have been probably the two running backs. But he's clearly he's going to be the best guy back. He's going to be the preseason Player of the Year in a couple weeks at Media Day. He'll be the first-team running back. He could possibly be one of the top in the country. You got him coming back, but well, that position's fine. What do we know about the quarterback spot? They had a battle in spring, and they're kind of like every team in the Mountain West. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be.
Well, we as of right now, we still don't really know who their quarterback is going to be. Spring cut it down from like 7 guys to about 3. So we have Maxwell Smith, who's a transfer from Kentucky. He is currently number 1 on the depth chart coming out of spring ball. We have Champman, who's a redshirt freshman from Carlsbad, who's 2nd on the depth chart. And then 3rd is Jake Rodriguez, the transfer from Oregon, who played behind Heisman winner Marcus Mariota a few years back.
Yeah, so nobody's played. And Nick Bowden apparently just fell off the face of the earth because he got some playing time last year, but he was not one of those guys. I don't know who could be. I think Maxwell Smith should be the guy kind of reading up on him. Because San Diego State, what's in their spring like in February? They were one of the early starters, and I think he might be the guy. But when you have nobody's taking a real snap, I guess it's just give it to Pumphrey until they figure it out.
Oh, and this year it will be no exception. And their offensive line, they have some meat packers on that offensive line. It is insane. Recruiting, transfers, you know, their average height, 6'5 to 6'8. They're packing 315 all the way up to 340. So this is going to be one of the biggest offensive lines probably in the history of the university. And Donnell's going to go ape running behind these monster offensive linemen.
Yeah, looking at it back, they have 3 main guys back, like Daryl Green, Nico Siragusa.
I believe.
What was that?
Daryl Green is one of the guys who I think got suspended.
Oh, that's
for
right.
Violation of team rules.
That's right. I forgot about that stuff. That seems like a while ago, yeah. That could make their offensive line a little bit less. I should look it up as we're talking here, but I'm looking at Bill Connolly's preview. There's a lot of zeros under career starts outside of a couple guys. So they got size. They got the size. Like, there's guys 310, 335, 6'5", and above. Having the bulk of a back, like if it's Pierce Slater and Siragusa there, that's helpful. And it's still – and we've known Rocky Long. Anywhere he's gone, New Mexico or San Diego State, they're going to run pretty well. And so I don't think that's too big of a concern, especially with Pumphrey.
Oh, I don't
backers.
Either.
There's always going to be something here or there, but it's not – it's probably if I think it is Green, we'll look, but having multiple guys back in that size, you know, the historical of what Rocky Long's done, I don't think there should be – there's always concern when you're placing a couple starters and your bench is thin, but heck, anywhere he's been the past 30 years, it's been running the ball reasonably fine. So I don't think –
And the promotion of Brian Horton from running backs coach to our offensive coordinator. So we should see definitely a lot more running, especially since the running back coach is now the offensive coordinator. And we had major issues with our wide receiving core during the summer. So I'm a little bit worried about that.
The receiving, it's been a couple years. Because there's when they had Ryan Lindley there, and maybe it was more of having him at quarterback than receivers, but who was it?
Vincent Brown and DeMarco Sampson.
Yeah, and then they also had Gavin Escobar with the Cowboys. They had a pretty good threat out there. They haven't really overcame or replaced that type of talent. Yeah, Lloyd Mills, he's okay, but there's not many like targets. Like Azil Ruffin was probably their best guy, but he's not back and only had 26 catches. With Pumphrey there, I get the point. They're not going to run the ball, especially like you said, the new OC being promoted from within. I just think they need to find some guys to throw the ball. They're going to run a lot, but who knows, it could be Eric Judge, Chase Price. They should be stepping up, in my opinion. Well, Chase Price, running back, excuse me. I'm looking at total receptions, but Who would step up? I definitely agree with you.
I'm just worried about the wide receiver core with the injuries that they had, and then one of the guys, you know, with Brian Sipe being released and the wide receiver coach being released in the offseason, they were not happy and didn't really want to continue with the university. And then at spring day, I don't know if you remember the four-star recruit Christian Cumlander that we got out of Troop, Georgia a year ago. Rocky Long flipped him from wide receiver to defensive back due to we had too many wide receivers. Spring, they flipped him back to wide receiver. So he was playing wide receiver and DB, and they had a lot of DBs going both ways. So that's what got me a little bit worried about the receiving core.
So what do you expect? I know the OC is going to run the ball, but what should we expect? Just Pumphrey? You can't run him, like, not to go to the other team like we mentioned, but Jay Ajayi, Boise State, they ran him as much as they possibly could, and he did fine. I have no doubt Pumphrey could do the same thing. However, he's five. He's not even 6 foot tall. He's not even 180 pounds.
Oh, yeah. The big thing really is going to be our big offensive line. How do they play against other teams? Can they run people to death? And if they can, Pumphrey's going to break them, and there's no catching him. As you know, he's one of the fastest running backs in the country. So I think that's really going to be the big thing, is what is his average yards per carry throughout the middle of the game and then by the middle of the season, because we could really see the Aztecs go screen a lot and then dump out to the tight ends, because we have a huge monster tight end that will be in there this year that reminds a lot of people of Gavin Escobar. But it's really just up to how the offense is going to flow, because, as you know, Maxwell Smith, he was in the pro style in Kentucky, and then Jake Rodriguez was in the spread at Oregon. So the coaches are trying to incorporate a little bit of the spread offense and a little bit of the pro style, so that all quarterbacks, if one of them goes down, two of them go down, they can all be able to play and know what's going on.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's where I'm thinking, looking to like what Chase Price and Pumphrey do in the receiving game. Because in the spread attack, if you watch Oregon, like everybody has, most people think, oh, it's just run, run, run. No, they pass. They pass a lot. They just have so many different looks and how quickly they move the ball. And getting these running backs involved in the passing game can make that work, whether it's a shovel pass, which I think is one of the most underused plays and can work pretty well. But there's sorts of – you don't have to be an athletic quarterback to fake left and toss right on the pitch, like what you see Marcus Mariota did in some of those spreads, or even if you look at New Mexico and Air Force when they kind of do the misdirection. Still part of the type of spread attack, and with Rodriguez, if he gets some carries, all you do is change the play where it's more of an you extend a running play for an option instead of just a pass for Maxwell Smith. Way maybe, oh, let me fake left and toss right. Like, you can just change a play just enough where it fits their needs, and they just need a quarterback, and they just need to find out who it is. I think that should fit into their offense if they can make just enough adjustments to where you take advantage of their skill set.
Oh, and that's exactly what they're doing. As I was saying, they're going to do pro for Maxwell. They're going to do spread and option for Jake. And then I think Chapman, the redshirt freshman, he'll do a little bit of everything, because he loves running the ball, and he is not afraid to go after the linebackers and try and knock one of them over. So he's a big boy. He's like 6'5", 230, 240, big boy for a quarterback, and loves to run. So I think he will be the quarterback of the future for the Aztecs after this coming season. But it'll be quite interesting to see what they want to do, because he has a gun and he's very mobile. And with San Diego State, who's had problems with that in the past, Ryan Lindley wasn't a big runner. Quinn Kaler last year, he wasn't a big runner. So I think that's one of the things that we're missing, is a quarterback that, if the pocket is starting to collapse, can scramble for a few yards, instead of just getting hit, sacked, fumbling, losing a few yards, and then they're kind of screwed.
So we'll get some other stuff, but who would you peg right now to start week one?
Maxwell Smith?
Okay, yep. That's what I'm thinking as well. As for those six players suspended, we should probably mention that, because that was back in, actually only 2 weeks ago. Jeez, that was only June 15th. Man, this,
I know,
this seems
feels like it was like 6 months ago.
No kidding, forever ago. Here's the players who are suspended really quick, just so since this is a preview show and people hopefully will listen throughout the offseason. Like we said, my air earlier, Daryl Green's going to be suspended for half the season. And then let's see who else we got here. And there's four other players. You got cornerback Derek Babish, Billy Vaughn.
Babish,
defensive back, and Billy Vaughn also cornerback. Then linebacker Fred McFellin, McAlissey.
That's the one.
I'm terrible at names. Malufa one, whatever. I don't. And then fullback.
Yeah, he's out of Lincoln High School. Yeah, that is a big loss.
Yeah, there was him, and then Daryl Green. The other couple might see time, but I don't think they were. And if I'm correct, if I'm wrong, I don't think they were huge losses at this point.
No. One of them, Vaughn, is really fast. He's mm-hmm. a speedster, but he's not. They're not losing that much.
The only thing I noticed was that the versatility in the offensive line takes it because Green was backed up. And this is all through June, and stuff will change throughout the season. They'll get more stuff for fall camp. But Green was backed up at right guard by converted tight end Robert Craighead and the defensive end Sergio Phillips. That doesn't sound too good. If those guys might be – I don't think they will, but if they somehow get into a position, even if they're playing 20 snaps a game in week one or two – that there's some concern there at some of the offensive line if those guys happen.
Yeah, a little bit, but Craighead's a beast. He went from playing like he was offensive line, and then they made him go to defensive line, and then they made him go to tight end. So I think this will be his fourth position change in 4 years.
I would give him more.
He's a monster.
Yeah, having played tight end, that's fine. But if you have a defensive end and Sergio Phillips, there can be some concerns there.
He did play O-line in high school, but it's been a while.
All right, let's go to some defense. We'll go to some games and kind of mix it up a bit to kind of our projections. So, offense, I would be comfort level. I don't think there's – well, running game, obviously, we're 100% fine. I would say what we saw last year in the passing game, mix of quarterbacks, injuries didn't help. Them losing games they shouldn't lose and winning games, they're like, okay, they won. I'm kind of wishy-washy in offense because you can't just run the ball 50 times a game. What's your confidence level for this offense heading into the season as of the first week of July?
I'm going to go C-minus, B, or C-plus, B-minus area because I think the quarterback is good. Running back's A. Tight ends, I would give an A. I think the tight ends that we have are very underestimated, but I still have issues with that receiver core.
Yeah, I agree. They still haven't. It's been years, and they need to find some guys to step up who have been there a while back. Let's go to defense. And we know Rocky Long, what he does on defense, he will have a good defense pretty much every year. And playing in the West Division, that's a bonus as well for the defense.
Exactly.
But looking who they have come back, is he still – I watch him enough. I know he does that kind of 3-3-5. Is there any adjustments he makes to that, or is he still going to kind of wanting to more traditional, depending who he has? And mix it up as he goes a little bit.
It's dependent on who he has. He loves the 3-3-5, but if like against Air Force or any of the military academies where they're doing like wishbone options, spread stuff, he'll change it up. But he normally sticks with the 3-3-5.
That's what I thought. I remember hearing something when they play those run teams like New Mexico, they'll put four guys up there and get rid of one of the
when they have to.
All right, so when they come back, looking through their secondary, great. They bring pretty much everybody back who played. So that's obviously a huge strength. Outside of Billy Vaughn, obviously half the season. He had 13 games played last year. But their schedule playing in the West Division, San Jose State, they'll probably throw the ball a bit more because they have some playmakers wide receiver, but the quarterback, we don't know. Fresno's possibly still a mess, Zach Greenlee. You got Hawaii who could be – everybody loves Max Wittig, but I'm still wait-and-see mode. No, but there's nobody that really scares me too much on offense. We know there's potential there, but with this experience back, I think that should be their strength of the defense.
Yep, and I'm happy to see Whitaker back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. He's
probably got his PhD by now. He's been at state for forever, and he just keeps getting his education. He's like, yeah, yeah. You guys are medically clearing me. I'll stay another year. That's more education I can get.
Yeah, no kidding. They got, like, everybody have, like, just what this defense does, because I guess a 5-second defensive back is technically one's kind of a linebacker, but what they do, like, looking through the numbers from last year, they attack the ball. They may not get they don't get a ton of interceptions, a good amount. Like, Whitaker had a couple, Malik Smith had 3, but then you see, like, Demonte, my vision is failing me. Kazee, yeah, sorry. Or I had a bug on my screen, that's what it is. Kazee, 12 pass breakups, 6, Whitaker had 6. They're the team or the defense where, okay, with that extra defender, a guy kind of, at least what I've seen, they'll just go and make the play. Okay, you don't get the interception, it's great. And I think if they're going to be really good, they need to, instead of having 12 pass breakups, let's get 5 interceptions by one guy. And that can be difficult, obviously, but that's why I think when they're playing these teams that pass, because even half the teams in the West, they may not be really good, but they'll still want to throw the ball, whether you're playing UNLV with Devontae Boyd there. You're playing, what's the guy's name from Hawaii? Not the quarterback, but Marcus Kemp, wide receiver.
Yep.
Guys like that, they got playmakers, but they'll knock it down. But I think their concern is the run defense, because they lose pretty much most of the linebackers. But yet, like you said, Whitaker and Jake Feely still back playing football for the Aztecs.
You know, he's getting his PhD also.
That's what it seems like. He's been around for a long time. That's my only concern, I think. Their defensive line brings back pretty much everybody. Yeah, you lose Sam Meredith, but like Alex Barrett, John Sanchez, those guys back. There's a small concern, but this defense, I think playing the West, this could, okay, I'll use not air quotes, but statistically, because who they're playing, probably be a top 3 defense of the whole conference. It may not be a top 3. They may not be a top 3 defense because of the inferior opponents they're playing in the West, but statistically, they'll still be top half overall regardless. I still think they're that good. But they'll probably be, at worst, the third spot, so like points per game, yards per game, just kind of big numbers look at, just because who they play. But I still think this could be a really good defense.
But then I also think it's like based on off the rush defense. You know, we've always been one of the best every year. I think the weakness, though, is still our pass defense. We're good within the box, like 5 to 7 yards. We'll stop them, but when they start going deep, some of our guys have a tendency to get burned, and that's where we can start losing. That's where you can beat us. But hopefully they'll be able to push and get some more picks and play better pass defense as a whole. Because I really think that our team can go far this year, but the defense, they need to push it.
Yeah, I think part of that could be with their front line, because they got plenty of, they stopped the running game quite well with their tackles for loss and looking at those numbers, but their sacks, yeah, Calvin Munson has 4, which is pretty good. Barrett has 3, but nobody's really getting like 6 to 10 sacks. I think that's what that's what could put them over the edge to help that secondary, because if you're getting a running game, that's great, you're stopping those guys, but if you're giving the quarterbacks time to throw, and their sack production wasn't terrible, but to be, like you said, if they're going to get beat deep, they need to improve and get into the quarterback more quickly and improve those numbers.
And they need to do a little bit more blitzing, I think. They need to blitz a little bit more.
I think Rocky Log likes them. I got my defense, and I'll beat you as is. I don't need to do anything special.
Oh, exactly.
That's
what he normally does. It's his stunts and everything. And I think, you know, sometimes if you run into 3-3-5, why not send 2 guys? You have enough back to cover it anyways.
Yeah, if you're sticking 5 guys, even if you have the defensive back was the Aztec position, that 5th guy who's kind of just hanging out back there, yeah, bring a 2nd guy and let him cover the middle of the field for those crossing routes or slant stuff. But I would like to see him be a little more aggressive at times, just because it's with who they have back, they have the experience to make their defense more complex if need be, and I think he needs to take advantage of that.
Oh, I agree.
All right, let's get to games. We're July 5th right now, so hope people didn't blow off their fingers. That's the first thing we forgot to ask or mention early on, fireworks. So, July 5th, and my internet is lovely. That's why my Skype never works on Google Chrome. And I'm still using Chrome, which I probably shouldn't. So, don't yell at me too much, people, for taking too much time. But the Aztec schedule, they start off with their San Diego game. We'll move on from that. We don't need to discuss that further.
Hey, a lot of people hate that game.
Just because it's FCS, or?
No, because if we lose the USD, we are horrible. We suck.
That'd be true.
They should get rid of football. No, like that game is a must win.
It's
bad.
There's no reason. Do they play? I don't have their schedule memorized every year. Do they play them at the Toreros every single year?
No,
or pretty
this
much
is the
every
first
year?
Time we've played them in a very, very long time.
Oh, okay. I know basketball.
Very long.
It's fine, but they're looking at their schedule. Like it's quite manageable to be pretty good because the Cal game intrigues me so much because what Sonny Dykes did at Louisiana Tech, and then they have Jeff. What's the quarterback's name there? I should know names. I should, right? I really should. Their quarterback's really good. He slings the ball. You're not helping me out. That'd be helpful if you could. That's okay. But their offense, what we've seen them do, this will test the Aztec defense quite well, especially that deep ball you're definitely afraid of, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's always one of those games when we play a good team, we tend to play good. When we play a bad team, we play horrible. I think we can beat Cal, but I don't know.
So what do you think? Like, what's with Cal? It's a road game. There should be a decent amount of Aztec fans making that drive up there. But it kind of stinks it's on the Pac-12 network, so I got to find a workaround to watch that game because I do want to check out at least part of it because that could be – it's either going to be a shootout, I think, because I think Aztecs can score some points. But it's going to depend on what Sonny Dykes has up his sleeve for that offense, which – year three, and who he has playing quarterback and all his team there. The Cal's probably like my sleeper team in the Pac-12 North to surprise some teams. I just think they need to run the ball, and it's like the old keep away. Just give it to Donald Pumphrey the whole game and don't turn it over too much, which is very simple. But going up against offense that probably could score 50 points to any team, I'd rather take my chances doing that.
I would agree with you, yeah.
And let's just move on. I think that, including the Penn State game, I'm more intrigued to see Cal than Penn State. Is that kind of weird? Do you think I'm crazy for saying that?
No, because a lot of people are not. They think we're going to get blown out by Penn State because we have issues going to the East Coast playing, as you saw last year with our game against UNC. We went there and we were killing them, and then we just decided to lose.
Yeah, I remember that game. That was not – there was a lot of issues that game. Timeouts, play calling. But that game – we'll move on past South Alabama because they'll beat them. Because if they are transitional FBS, is that correct? Or are they full-fledged Sun Belt at this point? Do you even know?
I have no clue.
I know they're in the Sun Belt. So that could be – that should be a win. But the Penn State game – you are going east. We don't know when that's going to be played besides Saturday, September 26th. I'm guessing Penn State should be ranked reasonably well. I'm pretty sure it's avoiding the Big Ten network, and I'll just leave it at that because that's about all I know. But with this Penn State team, with what they finally getting back to, they can sign the full class. They're still down some scholarships due to the sanctions. They're finally able to sign a full class. They have... and I'm missing on names. Their head coach from Vanderbilt. Crap. I want to say, I know it's not Herb Hand, but I want to say him because I know it's James Franklin. See,
yep.
I get there somehow, right? For some reason I think Herb Hand, Vanderbilt, who I know he's there and is a great guy, but it's James Franklin. He basically turned things around when Bill O'Brien left the Texans. I don't think the Aztecs could win, but I don't see why. I don't see Penn State. Maybe it's just our bias, just not watching them play enough, but I don't seem too impressed of them being this juggernaut who will just crush San Diego State. I'm seeing more of a game like they're probably better than North Carolina. I'm pretty sure about that, but they are. But
they
I
have
think
the potential. Aspect- I do know we're going to have major fan support there. There are also other events that will be going on surrounding that game, like the Pope. The Pope is going to be there the same weekend as that game. So maybe a lot of Penn State fans will decide, hey, we want to go see the Pope and not show up at the game. And maybe we might pull off a miracle and win that.
I think you're being too harsh on the team. I don't think it'd be a miracle if they win. I think it would be some sort of a mild upset. But Penn State, they might be somewhere near the top. They're going to be at the top of the Big Ten. I know they changed divisions. They're with aren't they with Michigan in that side division, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
I think they're in the new Big Ten East with Rutgers and Maryland. And they'll be ranked, but let's just say, paint this scenario. It's pretty easy. I don't think it's too hard to believe they'll be 3-0 headed into that game. So if they're both somehow 3-0, let me pull up. I got the preseason here. I don't have Penn State schedule, but if they're both undefeated or something, I don't see why that wouldn't be a pretty big game. Because if the Aztecs are 3-0, I think if they beat Cal, I think they could be on the fringe of being ranked.
Oh, I agree. If they beat Cal, I think they can take Penn State down. But it's the do I really think they're going to beat Cal thing. And not many fans think they're going to beat Cal.
I think they could. I'm looking at like some early top 25. Maybe I'm overvaluing Penn State. I thought they were going to be, like, I'm looking at ESPN and CBS, those preseason top 25, like way early stuff from May and June. They're not ranked. I thought they were in the top 25 somewhere. So this is probably a more winnable game than we think. With what Penn State normally does, like, their offense is, it's just okay. I think this could be like a slugfest of some sort. We don't need to get too deep because we're still, 90 days away from this game or something?
Yep.
I just think it's a game. It'll
be some good football, and hopefully the Aztecs will represent the Mountain West well at that game.
That's what the league needs. Like, they need to get some big wins like that. And being a named team like Penn State, even though they still recovering from the sanctions and all that, they made a bowl game last year. They went to the Pinstripe Bowl. It'll be a good challenge, and I think it could go either way. I'd still give an edge to Penn State, but let's get to conference play here. Here's what we have. Like we said, they play the West. They miss. Are you upset that they missed Boise State this year? Let's start.
I am very, very upset.
Because everybody knows I love Boise State for some reason, or I also hate them very much. So
I wanted to go to Boise, so that's why I'm upset they're not playing each other.
Yeah, they missed the Boise. They missed, like, their schedule is they still play Utah State and CSU, but they missed Air Force, they missed Boise State, and they also missed, who's the other team they miss? New Mexico. So they missed three teams that are, the Mountain Division is going to be nuts, I think. I think all six teams have a real good chance to get bowl eligible, but missing Boise State obviously helps them, but they start off at Fresno. Their first stretch of games is, they don't have a bye game till late, which kind of is unfortunate, but Fresno, at Hawaii, at San Jose State, Utah State, Colorado State, those are possibly, well, I should think before I talk and say San Jose State might be a bowl team. San Jose State's probably going to be the, sorry for Spartan fans, but probably be 6 out of 6 in the West Division this year, in my opinion.
They
might
be out on a bowl game.
No bowl game for them, no. They'll be at the bottom. But here's what's so hard about talking about games now. Like, we all know quarterback in this conference, nobody's safe at the starter outside of what Air Force and maybe New Mexico. And I guess Hawaii. Well, because
exactly.
Right. That's correct, because even Utah State with Trekkie Keaton, he had injury issues with his knee. So even though he's a starter, you never know. You got, like you said, San Diego State, we don't really know. We have an idea. Wyoming, we don't know. Air Force, it's Nate Romine, we know. New Mexico, probably Lamar Jordan. We kind of know every school, but nothing's been announced. So it's hard to talk about a Week 5 game for Fresno State, but what's your first thought? That's a night game at home, like every game is at Qualcomm. Is Fresno your big rival in the West Division? That seems like what it is to me. I'm asking long questions, but that's where I'm coming to.
Yeah, Fresno State is the rival. So for most people that have no clue why, Fresno State was the first school in the Valley in California, and San Diego State was the first school in the city. So, like, back in the days when you used to have to carry gas cans with you when you drove to go on vacation or whatever. So that's why that game is called the Battle for the Oil Can. And they found a legitimate oil can on our campus that someone from Fresno hauled all the way out to San Diego. So, like, it was a huge, huge rivalry way back in the day. Probably not as big as Bama and Florida or Bama and Auburn, but it was the biggest rivalry in the history of the university before SDSU and BYU started getting into tangles in basketball. But then when Fresno stayed in the WAC and we left, the rivalry basically died then. But we're trying to get it going again now.
You well,
can
say
it's a rivalry, but we haven't been doing that well in it.
Well, that's true. There was that game last year, which was kind of weird, but
yeah, I think we're 1-2 against them in the last 3 years since we got the rivalry re-going.
Well, one of those years was Fresno State's probably best team ever, so that
yeah,
one is
Derek
tough.
Friggin' Carr, who is the beast, probably one of the best Mountain West quarterbacks ever.
Yeah, so that's that game, I don't know what to make of that because it's probably Zach Greenlee starting. Their running back with Marquise Waller there is pretty good. He's probably the other guy put at the first team with, well, I don't know, maybe some guys from New Mexico, but his running back's reasonably good position. That'll be, it's just a game that's, I can't, there's nothing to say right now because we're freaking early. It's probably going to be a pick-and game like this stretch at Hawaii, San Jose State, Utah State, CSU. The way I'd put the Aztecs of home road games, you got the back-to-back road games, which I know you're at San Diego going to Hawaii. It's the shortest trip to Hawaii. You're still going 2,000 miles to Hawaii to play a game. They'll probably win at least three of those games. I'd peg them beating, I don't know. Let's just say this. Spartans a win. We already discussed how bad I think the Spartans are going to be. So sorry, Spartan fans. Let's put it this way. They need to win three of those games, I think. In that
I agree, yeah.
And they get Utah State at home. They get, but they have to travel to Colorado State. And at this point in the season with the Rams, we'll know what Mike Bobo is doing. We'll know who's the running back. Probably Nick Stevens, the quarterback. We know what Rashard Higgins will be bringing, but that's probably a tough stretch because you don't have no bye weeks until you play Wyoming. And
that's our homecoming game.
The Wyoming game is?
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on, let's kind of focus on Utah State here. That's a Friday night game in San Diego right there. It's, like I said, always late games for the Aztecs out there because that's what they do. So what's your thoughts on that game? Because that game we can focus on. Hawaii, I don't really care too much about because it's...
I don't either.
It's tough.
I'll say about the Hawaii game is I think SCSU will win by 3 to 7 points.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. I think Hawaii is getting better, but I don't think they're... We'll know more after that's almost midway, but it'll be... It's one of those games, like you're in Hawaii, they're good enough to put a scare into you, but they're not good enough to get wins yet.
Oh, exactly.
And then Utah State, their defense, this could be
that
like...
That could
a
be a really fun game. Because there are a lot of Utah State fans in San Diego, that I know.
And probably will make a trip because I've been to Logan multiple times. And if you're there, and even in, what is that game, October? It's pretty
yep.
cold. It's probably already snowing, perhaps. And that, I just want to see, not to go off on all these teams we mentioned, but I want to see Chucky Keaton get a full season because him against his defense.
That would be really interesting to watch.
It would be fun. Yeah, Utah State lost JoJo Natson, get kicked off the team, so they lose a big playmaker, but I want to see what he can do playing against these better defenses. Like when he plays Boise, when he plays San Diego State, when he plays other teams, and this San Diego State team has one of the better defense. Like you said, Keaton's arm, he doesn't have a super, like an extremely strong arm, like for those 50-yard bombs or those. He can go over the top, but not unless there's like busted coverage. Unless, like you said earlier, unless an Aztec guy bites on a play action, or you said the deep ball is a concern, I think they could limit that here because Keaton can throw far and throw well deep, but he's not, Byron Leftwich or somebody just chuck it down the field 80 yards.
Oh, exactly.
And that's probably, because if they're going to win the West Division, which I think they could, that game matters, but not as much as beating up on Fresno, Hawaii, San Jose State. I would give the Aggies the edge just because of the defense, but heck, Donald Pumphrey, man, 200 yards maybe, I don't know, 110, 150, give me a number and he'll probably exceed it in that game.
I think he'll run for 2,000 this season, but that's just me.
Yeah, because you're a homer, and 2,000 is a perfectly number for somebody who really likes their team.
Offensive line, though, I think that's going to be the key. With how big they are, I think they will push teams off, and it will allow him to break longer runs. Because I think he'll have at least, 30 or more runs of, 20-plus yards. I just think that will be one of the things. Like, if teams in the Mountain West can shut down Pumphrey running and then force us to throw it, that's where we're going to have issues.
Yeah, I do. I just think I like 2000 because what did he get last year? Didn't he get 1844 last year, something like that, almost 1900?
Yeah, he led the Mountain West in total in yards.
Total yards
for rushing.
I'm thinking with Price back there, they may not allow him to have enough carries to get to 2000 yards. As I said,
I think it's just going to depend on if he can break them. If he's got multiple gains of 40 or more in a game, if he can run for 200 yards on 10 carries or less per game, I think it's doable. But it just depends. Like if he's getting 4 to 5 and he's getting hit a lot, yeah, I think they'll limit the carries and put Price in. But it'll be interesting. I think Utah State, they might be the one team that I think will hold the SCSU running attack to under 100 yards.
That'll be tough. That's probably, I would say them and Penn State are probably by far the best defenses they'll face.
Oh, I definitely agree. I think those two are the big ones in terms of can they shut down the SCSU running attack. And if SCSU can get over 200 yards rushing on both of them, I think they'll win.
Yeah,
it's just too early to tell.
Obviously, that's why it's the disclaimer, too early to tell for half these games in July. And then you got the Rams. Again, with them, I think their defense is pretty good. It's so much turnover and change. That'll be a game where I'm thinking you got to somehow slow down Rashard Higgins, which will be very difficult. And I just, like I said, it's dumb to say, but we know what Mike Bobo's done at Georgia, running the ball a lot. But the Rams have a new running back, a new quarterback, a couple new Ty Sambrill to NFL, lose a star offensive lineman, probably the best in the conference last year. This point in the season, we'll clearly know, but I still think their main thing is going to be just what we've seen Bobo. He'll run a lot, but then he'll want to, clearly he's a smart guy to get Rashard Higgins involved. And I probably would say the Aztecs probably not going to come out on top in that game.
I like that game. I think that'll be one of the fun games.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego State does have a really good record playing at Colorado State of late in Fort Collins, so I think they can make that one interesting.
Oh, I think it will be.
It depends on the running game on both sides.
Yeah, at that point, Halloween, we should know exactly what each team are. And then we got the last three games of the season. I'm thinking at this point, they're probably bowl eligible. Just because beating San Diego, South Alabama, like Hawaii, San Jose State, well, they should be bowl eligible, but if they're not, I don't see any reason why they can't at worst, and I'm baseline, win two of the final three games. Because Wyoming, they have probably just as good a running back combo as the Aztecs with Brian Hill and Sean Wick. UNLV still got a lot. Yeah, they have probably the best receiver behind Rashard Higgins and Devontae Boyd. Or,
I agree 100% on that one.
Devontae. But then Nevada's the one up in the air where I'm like, I don't know what Don Jackson's going to bring running the ball and what they're going to do with their quarterback. Because there's Nevada, another team. Who's your quarterback? I don't know. We'll find out week one. But they should be bowl eligible. If not, they better.
If they're not, San Diego State fans would say that this has been a horrible season.
So what would you say overall? Because out of that last three games, the 2-1s, I think, even yourself, big San Diego State guy, 2-1's probably what they're going to be doing those final three games. I can see them 3-0, but I would say baseline, like, 2-1, we'll be okay. I think that's where I'd put them at. And if I'm going to give them a loss, I would probably say Wyoming just because of what they could do on the ground. But even then, it's like, well, that's still a winnable game. And I'm probably going to stick him at 7 or 8 wins. It's kind of what I'm saying right now, early July.
That would be nice. Most San Diego State fans are expecting 10-2.
Really?
That's what all the pundits are saying.
What pundits?
I don't know.
Give me a name.
What I've been hearing. There's some ESPN guys that were saying it. A few Sports Illustrated. There were some guys at USA Today. They're expecting if State plays to their full potential to go 10-2. To the two losses, most likely Penn State and Cal, then they're expecting them to win conference. But I'm not sure. I'm one of those people that say, hey, look how good they are. I think they're going to go undefeated, and then they end up sucking. Because that's just San Diego State football. They play really good against good teams. They play really bad against bad teams. And then hopefully at the end of the day, we're going to a bowl game, and that will hopefully be our sixth or seventh straight bowl game. I'm starting to lose track now.
Yeah, I would say I get where people are coming from, because the West Division's, like I said, not very good. Doesn't mean Aztecs aren't very good, but there's so many unknowns in this conference, and specifically the West Division. When you have the best player on the team, and whenever you're on the field, you're likely, I would say, in probably all 12 games, San Diego State will have the best athlete on the field in Donnell Pumphrey. And he's a guy who's not a linebacker, not a cornerback, not a lineman. He's a guy that can take over a game. He's the offense, essentially. He's not a guy who may see the ball a couple times or has to make his own play. That's a huge advantage, in my opinion, having that best player on the field every time out. Cal, maybe the Cal quarterback, just because he's going to throw more. 10-2 seems lofty, but what does Fresno State have? They were awful last year. They were good at times. Hawaii's still rebuilding, like we said. Spartans cannot stop a guy to run the ball at all. I'm just thinking,
nope.
I would say if I'm going to go like high and positive, I don't see 10-2. I just think that's a bit
I
too,
see
too,
either
8-4
much. Or 9-3 being
Yeah, I'm in that range, because Utah State, they can lose to Utah State. They can lose to Colorado State. And then Cal and Penn State. Those are the four toughest games on the schedule.
Yep, that's what's the most fun about the Mountain West Western Division. That our teams, they can be hot any single day that you show up. They might not be the best, but just because they're out of it doesn't mean that the team's not going to show up. And we've seen that the past few years with San Jose State knocking off Fresno State and trying to screw them over when they were trying to win a championship, Hawaii winning games at the end. It's free-for-all in the West. And they're bad, but they can play good any day they want to.
Here's the thing about the West Division. Like, Fresno State, there's potential for them to be good, because I like what Aaron Roderick does at the offensive coordinator position. If Zach Greenlee's the guy and Amartiz Wallow there, they need to find a new receiver to replace that group that graduated or moved on the past couple seasons. They have the potential to be good, but I don't think they're there to win yet. Like Hawaii, like we said before, they can be close and maybe win, but not there yet. Wyoming is still learning how to win games. UNLV, new coach, they're a mess, in my opinion. They'll be improving, but not this year. And Nevada, same thing. You're still trying to replace Chris Ault. You have new guy replacing Cody Fajardo. Don't have Brock Hekking. There's talent there, but you're exactly right. The only two teams I'd say that could do that in the West are Hawaii and Fresno State. I would put Wyoming in that same grouping as a team that could be hot and do well. But like I said, the West, there's only a couple teams that could really do that, I think.
Exactly. And I think it's also based off of schedule. Like, you know, our non-conference are playing USD and then Southern Alabama and then Cal and Penn State. It's like last year, Fresno, they're like, hey, let's go play Nebraska. Hey, let's go play all the other really good teams. Mm-hmm. Make a lot of money off the games and then have our season paid for. But in the end, when you're getting smashed for the first two or three games of the season, that's probably not the best thing to do.
Yeah,
when you're warming up new players. And I think that's going to be the main thing is who are the teams in the West scheduling, and then how beat up are they by the time conference play starts?
That's true. Like, I think San Diego State playing Cal and Penn State, those are obviously with the conference they're in, they have typically better athletes overall, at least size-wise. Talent's debatable, but especially with Cal the past couple of years. But there's big guys. They have some depth that can wear you down, where the Mountain West teams don't really have that depth they really want to have or need. So, like you said, I know Fresno, man, that was tough to watch. Utah getting blown out by Nebraska, everybody they played. That was just very difficult. So I'm going to go 8-4 right now and have them winning the West Division. Do you have them winning the West as well?
I do. Yeah, that's solid. I agree with 8-4.
I could see 10-2 because I don't see Cal and Penn State being these type of teams that are unbeatable and something Aztecs can't win. Basically, there's anybody on their schedule, it would not be too far-fetched to say San Diego State will beat this team on their entire schedule. They likely won't.
Oh, yeah. San Diego State, they could beat every team they play. But in reality, are the Aztecs going to show up on game day ready to blow those teams out? I don't think so, because we haven't seen it as Aztec fans in a very long time.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they're not going to go undefeated. It would take something special. There's a few too many questions. QB, I think there are some offensive line questions, at least depth-wise a bit, especially with the suspension there. But, yeah, bowl game, winning the West. So let's play. We're going to wrap up here really quick because it's starting late. We're about to end late, yes. But who would you say would be their best matchup? Not who you want, because I know you'd say Boise State. What do you think would be their best matchup, or who do you think they will play if they go to the title game? You could say Boise, but don't make that your default answer.
Okay, I'll go Utah State then. Because I just like the matchup. I think that's going to be the best game that we're going to see this year. As you were saying, they have a running attack. We have a running attack. They have a good defense. We have a good defense. I think it's going to be a really good game. And I think Chucky is going to be playing the whole time. I think Maxwell Smith is going to blow people away and surpass expectations. And I think it's going to be a really good game.
I hope that's the case. I just want injury. I want a full season with Chucky Keaton for every team. I want everybody. I don't like it when your quarterback or key player goes down. It kind of messes your whole season. Because Utah State last year with four quarterbacks. Because we had
they did good with four quarterbacks.
They did, but also go back and look at their schedule they played during that time. It wasn't exactly tough. Playing Hawaii and San Jose State and UNLV, not that difficult. But we do have the best shirt. We have a quinterback shirt for the five quarterback spots. So we came up with that. So we're very aware, as you are, to every team or the conference that plays multiple quarterbacks. So that's all we got tonight. We got Aztecs. Utah State. So I'm hoping, for selfish reasons, I'm hoping the Mountain West title game is at Utah State, just because I can drive there in 2 hours. Anywhere else, I have to make plans, get a hotel. People can hear me complain, but 2 hours, I would love to drive down the freeway, I-15, make a right east for 20 miles and hop in and hop out. But we'll see. That would be a good title game. San Diego State, Utah State. And if the Aztecs, like I said, at the very start of the show, their defense will, like I said, they're probably top three easily statistically, probably top three or four overall. Because let's wrap up with this. How would you rank their defenses? I would say Utah State. Maybe not in order, because people think I order things, but Boise State, probably San Diego State, regardless.
I'd go same with you. Boise, Utah State, and SDSU being the top three, not in that order, but the top three defenses.
Yeah, because I was thinking about during the show, nobody else really stands out to be in there, as I kind of blurted. CSU, maybe, but, like, Wyoming, they're still working on. They have Eddie Yarbrough, which is good. Fresno has a couple of guys as well. I would maybe put Wyoming right there, but maybe Air Force, but I wouldn't. You got to trust Rocky Long, because he knows what he's doing for the past, 30 years coaching college football.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's all we got for tonight. We're going to wrap this up here. So definitely, David, thank you for hanging the whole hour with me. It's pretty much, instead of mentioning every little thing David does, because he does real estate, he does PR, he does the San Diego Flash, Charger. Oh, hold on. Before we do that, I need to ask you a question, because you're a guy. I wrote this down earlier. What happens if the Chargers leave to LA? Is that, people tell me we're completely wrong about what we discussed with the Aztecs and Qualcomm. Is that too long of a topic to get into now?
No, not at all.
Give me a quick synopsis of what the deal is if the Chargers do move. Because I did notice a job listing for the Chargers. One of the qualifications could be possibly working in L.A. So it's getting close.
Oh, so I just went to a huge Aztec club, Aztec football event a few weeks ago, and they talked about that. And Rocky Long, they asked them, what is going on with the stadium? And Rocky's like, we're building one. We're scared the Chargers are going to leave, and we're not going to deal with this, because if the Chargers leave, San Diego State has about 2 years left on their contract at Qualcomm before the city would tear Qualcomm away. So SDSU is currently looking to build a stadium on their campus or in downtown San Diego, possibly with the University of San Diego, who were playing in that very first football game. I've heard rumors that boosters from both schools would be willing to contribute money into a fund to build that new stadium, so it would be a joint FCSU-USD stadium, which would be pretty interesting. But just know San Diego State is working on building a stadium, and if they say that in the news and in the media, which they have, and they've said they're not, they're lying.
Where would they put
need
it, though, because
and they're looking for one.
I looked on the map. One of our guys wrote something about it, and a lot of people give us flack because we didn't go into extreme deep detail, because I know there's a lot of details that can get lost just because there's, from what I've read, there's so many options out there. It's hard to cover everything in one article, especially if you don't want it to be 2,000 words and unreadable because you're writing so much and saying if A happens, B happens, and Z happens back to C and D. One thing they pointed out on the map, there's not space for a stadium, but I did hear there's land that's bought that's like 20 acres, I think, north. I think it's an apartment complex somewhere. But that doesn't seem the right size.
Yeah, there is an apartment complex on campus called Albert's, which they could tear down. San Diego State does also own the land under, forgetting what it's called. There's an elementary school right below the football complex, and they own all the land under that, and they own land on the other side of the freeway as well. But one of the also big deals, San Diego State has I think she's a Democrat who's on the California, she's one of the senators on the finance committee who would be able to transfer Qualcomm land to San Diego State. And San Diego State's one of the largest universities in the country that does not have a medical school. So state could build a medical school and a stadium on the Qualcomm property. That's one of that's another one of the options that's been brought up.
Yeah, I've heard that one. That's a good one.
The stadium would cost $300 million and would hold 40,000 people.
Okay, that's why I'm looking here, because I heard lots of things like that. They could go over the stadium, they could blow it up. But then I hear one last thing, because this is a lot of information here, but I know they are a part of the California State University system, right?
Yes, sir.
But I've heard, and maybe it's strange, but there's basically no money there. So any money would have to come from donors and or fees or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the big thing. So how much have they fundraised already for this so-called stadium they're going to build? I've heard estimates 70% have already been fundraised privately.
Interesting. Okay. Good.
But we have no clue, because you have big boosters on both sides. You have the guy who created Jack in the Box, so Jack from Jack in the Box is an SDSU alum.
So we could have Jack in the Box Stadium,
money.
Right? Can we have that Jack in the Box? I would love that, because I'd love Jack in the Box. That would be the best. That would rival
Tommy. They could also hit up Ron Fowler, who's the GM of the San Diego Padres, who's also a huge booster for USD. Mm-hmm. And then they have a few other really big-name boosters, like Previs, who sponsored the whole student union at San Diego State, whose name is on every single university in San Diego that I can think of, or at least the big ones. Like, he's built libraries at San Diego State, USD, UCSD. So they have a lot of money that they can easily pool. And I think $300 million is very easy to get. They wouldn't have to ask the city or the state for any money. Because then you got those guys, and then you try and get naming rights that are hopefully better than Wise Pies Arena.
Wise Pies. All right, that's all I wanted to get. I just wanted to get some more clear information, because we were something, and apparently we were wrong in everything, and I know we weren't really wrong in everything, but more information from somebody who's there is great. So thanks for that last bit of information. Aztecs should have a great season. I guess, as I said on my thing before, check out David's stuff. Just David Ferker, FRERKER on Twitter. For, like I said, weight loss, because you lost a lot of weight. That's amazing. I'm trying to do the same thing, but you're kicking butt, so that's great you're doing that. Real estate, PR, you're going to Europe. Anything else we need to know about your schedule or life you want to broadcast to hundreds of people?
Not really. I just produce Carlos Gutierrez's radio show, so that's the real estate agent I work with.
That's right.
For those who do not know, he's Monty Montezuma, a.k.a. the Aztec Warrior for San Diego State.
That's a good insight. Nice. That,
so that's
that,
why
that.
I get all this insight on stadiums or all this other stuff, because I go with him to all the Aztec parties with all the boosters and all the alum and all the big-name people.
So were you allowed to say what you just told me 2 minutes ago? Was that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. I don't watch. What is going on here? Your private information. You're getting off the record stuff. Okay, that's just making sure. I noticed. I have seen you have a lot of photos of Aztec stuff, meetings, and booster stuff. So again, check them out on Twitter. You'll find everything David talks about. So hey, thanks for hopping on with me tonight, and we'll probably chat again once the season comes on. And for everybody else listening, again, MWCConnection.com, Mountain West Connection, all the fun stuff, Twitter, Facebook. We'll do our show next week. We're alphabetical. Who would be next? San Jose State. Oh, great. The team I bashed tonight, David. That's a good thing to go for next week. We will talk some Spartans football. And everybody have a good night. And we're glad USA won. Sorry your German team lost, David. So I know you're probably not too happy about that. Right? Is that okay to talk about right now? Or are you still mourning?
Hey, I like the German men's team, not the German women's team. So it's all good.
Good to know. Okay, perfect. All right. Thanks for hopping on with us tonight. And everybody will talk to you next time.